You know what I was thinking about today? I was thinking about those street gangs they have down in Los Angeles, those Crips and those Bloods. And I was thinking about that bunch of new laws they came up with in the 1980s, I think it was, to combat those street gangs, those Crips and those Bloods. And if I remember rightly, the gist of what those new laws were saying was, if you join one of these gangs and you're running with them, and down the block one night, unbeknownst to you, one of your fellow Crips or your fellow Bloods shoot up a place or stab a guy, well then, even though you may not know nothing about it, and even though you may have just been standing on a street corner minding your own business, what these new laws said was, you're still culpable. You're still culpable by the very act of having joined those Crips and those Bloods in the first place. Which got me thinking, Father, that whole type of situation is kind of like you church boys, ain't it? You got your colors, you got your clubhouse, you're, for want of a better word, a gang. And if you're upstairs smoking a pipe and reading your Bible, while one of your fellow gang members is downstairs fucking an altar boy, well, Father, just like those Crips and just like those Bloods, you're culpable. 'Cause you joined the gang, man. I don't care if you never did shit, you never saw shit, you never heard shit. You join the gang, you're culpable.
I want to spend my
welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. And just stop playing games. Douglas, sit up straight. We are here. Do we even say the date anymore? Who cares?
No. Sometimes I mention a date just for fun, just to be like, yeah, you know.
Exactly, because we're here on April 14th of
2019. Holy shit, Douglas, what happened in the future? You tell me so that I know now.
What happened in the future is that you waited, you procrastinated like a little bitch, and didn't edit that podcast.
God damn it!
Who picked this movie?
I did.
Oh right, I told you to pick Lady in Water.
I picked a lady.
Stop calling it that.
I'm sorry. What's the name of the movie?
I picked Lady. Lady in. Nuns.
Nunnery?
Yes.
What's the name of the movie, Douglas?
Lady in Black.
For the people who literally don't know what we're talking about yet.
Sister Act 3.
Alright, so the movie that we're watching today, I guess I didn't realize we actually started the podcast. This is awesome. This is a good way to start. Yep. So, okay, we're going to talk about Novitiate.
I'm sorry, can you run that back?
Novitiate.
Still never heard that word. What?
No, fuck yourself. Right?
Nun? Oh, Kathleen. You're a 17-year-old girl.
I was called, and I'm going to become a nun, and there's really nothing that you can say that's going to make me change my mind.
Good afternoon, all of you. Since, unfortunately, God can't be here to run this convent himself, my voice will serve as a stand-in for his.
You'll be spending the next 6 months as postulants.
After that, you'll enter the novitiate.
Any questions?
Put your hand down, sister. Postulants don't have questions. And you are free to go home.
Novitiate is a movie about... We could broadly call this a coming-of-age movie about a young girl who falls in love with the concept of God and the concept of serving God and essentially decides, I'm going to become a nun. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the movie focuses, most of the movie focuses on her path or her actual time in the nunnery as what they call a novitiate or they call them a novice, but the process
is a convent.
Okay. So, they call them a novice, but the process is being a novitiate. Mm-hmm. And actually, they even go through being...
there's something before.
No, there's something after. You're a novice for 6 months, mm-hmm. and then you become... I thought I needed to write it postulant. Down so I could remember. Postulant, right. Thank you. You become a postulant for a year...
You can tell we've spent all of that.
And a half or something like that.
I think it's the other way around. You're a postulant at the beginning, right. and then you go through the novitiate, and you become a novitiate for a year and a half, and then you're whatever after that.
You're full nun. Yeah, I think. Oh,
okay, yeah, maybe you're right. So, yeah. Maybe you're right. And then you're a full nun.
Again, we've studied this religion for a long time.
I mean, this is our second nun-related movie that we've ever done on the podcast.
Ida was number one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Beautiful.
It really was. And this movie... this is a weird movie. This is a weird one. In a way, I kind of more respect this movie than I like this movie.
Oh no, the R word?
Yeah.
Is it better than the A word?
Appreciate.
No, I more than appreciate this movie. Mm-hmm. This movie has... It ticks a lot of the boxes.
Is it the I word?
Is irritate?
It of, is it of import?
It's... Oh, it's absolutely not of any import.
I would have thought interesting, but okay.
Absolutely not.
So, something that came out of this, and something that... I'm not sure if I should like the movie for this, or if I'm just a bad person for this. One or the other.
It's probably the latter.
Yeah, leaning hard on the latter.
Yeah. So, something that came out of this, it made me think about... as I was watching this movie, I wondered to myself, so, essentially, what is the purpose mm-hmm. of these nuns, right? And... I don't mean that in the sense of like, I don't mean that in any negative way, but you know, like how, so essentially somebody mm-hmm. who says, I want to be X, it's because X has a role, right? And there is some purpose that you decide you want to have, or something that you do that attracts you to that and you go there, right? So equally, as the movie like kind of progressed and you got more and more insight into the inner workings of this nunnery, I'm just going to keep calling it that.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of realized that there wasn't much being done, right? So they mostly stayed on compound.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of saw them walking up and down, and there was definitely a head nun. And by the way, oh, Melissa Leo. Oh, great.
Jesus.
But outside of the only thing that I could say anybody did that felt like, you know, jobbish, was you knew that there were some nuns who taught at a school somewhere, right? Was associated, you think, with this nunnery, but you never quite saw the connect, right? There were two separate places in the movie. And you could almost think like, oh, maybe they're just renting out the nuns to the school or something.
I'd like to rent some.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. Uh-huh. I saw that movie already. It's called Calvary. And those weren't nuns.
Damn it.
Close
enough.
Close enough. But essentially, it looked like, from my perspective, that the nuns were just there. It was almost like a girls' club. And at a certain point in the movie, you realize how poorly they were treated by the rest of the establishment of the church. So much so that I said, you know what? I'm going to Google this. I'm going to Wikipedia this, because Wikipedia is the bastion of truth and knowledge.
Right.
And actually, Wikipedia confirmed my shitty movie-related conspiracy theory, which essentially it said, well, nuns generally stay at the nunnery.
Mm-hmm.
See, I almost said convent.
Yeah,
right?
Like an idiot.
Right? And generally, their life consists of praying.
A word.
and self-sufficient tasks.
Mm-hmm. They're monks.
That's it.
They're monks.
And it spoke to Vatican II, because this was, by the way, this was set in real life, though. It was, you know, one of those where there's a story around what is happening. And one of the big things that was happening in this movie was an event called Vatican II, where essentially the Vatican, the Pope, and everybody important in the church, which excluded the nuns, got together and decided we're going to be a more open church, and we're going to do a bunch of things. And
they're going to reboot the church.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right, like Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, pretty much. So it sounds like, based on how this movie portrayed it, that a lot of those things were actually, you know, really good. But one of those things was pretty horrible, which had to do with essentially letting the nuns know, guys, remember, you're women, and we don't need you, right?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And so that played a huge role in this movie as well. This movie, it's one of those things where intellectually I really like it.
Oh, no. Another I word?
I know, right?
More eyes.
Oh.
I loved the curiosity that it kind of gave me to say, I kind of want to look into this. And, you know, listen, from just a 5-year-old perspective, when you have a starting class and you very nicely welcome them, talk to them, and ask if there are any questions, somebody puts up their hand and you immediately say, put down your hand. Novitiates don't have questions. Don't
postulants.
Ask questions. Postulants don't ask questions.
God damn right.
I mean,
you may now leave.
Exactly.
You're free to pack your shit.
You know, pretty much what you just said to me is that you're a gangster. You are Lil Wayne. Like,
Wu-Tang.
Come on.
All day.
Because you don't ask questions. Yeah. there were a few moments in the movie like that that I just adored. And in particular, that was Melissa Leo again. Melissa Leo was great. One thing that I would say, it's hard for me to distinguish why I like her in this movie.
Excuse me?
Tell you why. Because I'm not saying that she didn't act great or she did act great, but what I would say
she's J.K. Rowling from Whiplash.
Yeah. What I'll say is this.
J.K. Rowling, oh shit.
Yeah. I let it slide.
Oh, I was going to leave that alone. It's my turn. Damn it.
But so, essentially,
J.K. J. Jonah Jameson, that's who he is. I'm going to stop now.
So J.K. Simmons was in this movie.
Right.
But
so
yeah,
was Harry Potter.
So was everybody. So, the thing about this role that she has is that it's so big. It's so flamboyant. It lends itself to being, first of all, the center of attention. And if you, even without necessarily being the greatest, you're always going to, all eyes are going to point to that. And you're going to love it because of how horrible she is to people, because of how she's horrible, the way she says things, and just her nature in this film. And so I don't know if I can take that out of it and say, you know what, she did a great job, but I adored her in this movie. I really also, I like the main, the lead in the movie as well.
The girl who went into,
Damon is shaking,
went into
his
the
head.
Nunnery Vahim. Or the,
no, she did. She, you pulled a Bugs Bunny there. Okay. I gotcha.
I tried.
I gotcha. Yeah, she went into the nunnery. So she has this backstory where her mom is not religious at all. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the daughter becomes religious by accident because the mother takes her to church once.
Not and, by accident.
And regrets that decision for the rest of her life. Mm-hmm.
She wants to bang Jesus.
Yeah, pretty Everyone much. Wants to bang Jesus. So I like about her the storyline of her of what happens and how, because it almost doesn't make sense to me, right? Not that it doesn't make sense to me, but it's a very specific thing that happens. She becomes so enamored with God and with mm-hmm, religion.
The idea of
yeah. Mm. And she just goes hard. And also, you know, any story like that, going hard allows you to bring in the concept of breaking, of essentially at some stage
reality the pressure
exactly. It's the pressure of what you've created around yourself. It's you know mm-hmm. something explodes.
Right. The reality of the decision that you're making mm-hmm. finally hits and you're just like oh.
Yeah. And it's not even just the reality because and what I did like about how they portrayed it is that it's not necessarily that and closer to the end of the movie it looks like there were some misgivings, but it's not about the misgivings, right? It's about how your decision impacts you in other ways and you not realizing that requires some sort of outlet. So for instance, you know, nuns can't have sex, right?
I mean, their male counterparts can't have sex either, but that didn't stop them.
They just phone boys. But yeah, so you know that's and that is something that's played in here, right? But just you know, and it's not necessarily that you active or your conscious wants it, right? Or wants whatever it is that you're lacking. But somewhere deep inside, you know, you're
tempted to touch. You can say that.
I am not condoning any goddamn soca music. All right?
Oh, my.
Oh, Andrew, did you get it? Oh.
No, I was going for the tweet reference, but all right. Mine was more niche.
Much more. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
You remember that shitty song? Oh my. Da. Her name was Tweet, wasn't it?
Oh.
Oops, oh my.
Oh my god.
Oh, I thought you meant like the Twitters.
No.
Speaking
the
of
girl's
Tweet.
Girl's name was Tweet.
Yeah.
Speaking of Tweet.
Missing Tweet.
I recently bought an album from somebody who was played on the Blues Kitchen. And I remember thinking how they described her never made any sense. The name of this artist is Lady Ray. She's like a, you know, R&B kind of artist. But not R&B like new mm-hmm. R&B. R&B like the Blues Kitchen R&B. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, sounds like she is
mm-hmm.
Singing with Aretha Franklin.
Right.
And I listened to her, I don't really recognize her. And they described her as, which again didn't make sense to me because of the type of music. But, you know, I shouldn't box Missy into a corner. Mm-hmm. But she's described as one of Missy's proteges. And I'm like, huh? Really? And then I go to her Bandcamp page and realize that she is Nicole Ray. And mm-hmm. I remember her from, again, 2000 or 1999,
yep.
when Missy was a huge thing. She, to see her go from the pop thing that she yep. was back then, because I remember liking her, but no, I listen back and yes. come on.
Let's be serious.
But, yo, she like straight up said, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to do this.
I've had enough.
Yeah. And it's a pretty good album, but yeah. I don't know why I felt the need to
because
tell
Andrew just just dove into his subconscious and pulled tweet.
By the way, out of it. That song is stuck in my head now. Yes.
You're welcome.
All over my shirt, all over my head. Oh my. So we were talking about. I can go as far back as Tempted to Touch.
Right.
Sex.
Right.
Right. So, you know, she's shining bright like a diamond, right? Inside of...
How many more song references can we
put? She is a coal that has been... The diamond that has been formed from the coal that is now shining bright.
Yes.
She is Rihanna. Okay, guys? Yes. So there are so many just natural things... natural is a shitty word, but just the things that are stifled by this lifestyle that she's trying to live.
We're social creatures.
Yeah.
And there's things that they've mandated that are kind of at odds.
Yeah, and you kind of see that pressure. And you see, there is another novitiate that comes in the middle of the movie. I think her name is something like Gabrielle... Emmanuel, some fancy flowing name, right? It's one that sounds like, oh, she's been a nun for 500 years and actually she was just recently sainted. It sounds like one of those names.
And she was held back, so she's still a novitiate.
Yeah. No, she decided to become a novitiate again to learn to be humble.
Prestige.
Yes. So she comes in and she's like that extreme that our lead is trying to become, that you almost kind of see her become, but she's not exactly, she has her cracks. And you know, just this story about this group of people who come together and they're like prisoners of war essentially. Especially with that head of, you know, torture, Melissa Leo. And then you see this huge Vatican II thing that just kind of ruptures and breaks everybody and everything. This movie, you know, it's all right. It's all right.
Yes.
Damon, we got the A word.
This film.
Yes. Almost good.
I feel like that's essentially what it is. Yeah. You know? It's like one of those where somebody, your student comes to you and you look at it and you say, well.
That's the effort.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not an A paper. But a C.
Yeah, all right. I should really give you a C, but take the B minus.
Yes.
But no.
You're doing worse.
This is actually reducing it, because I actually think it's B minus would be, would not be a good thing to give this. I kind of like it.
Three out of five.
I like this movie. This is like a
C.
This is a. Oh, God damn it. I like this movie. I will never watch it again, but I like this movie.
Oh, Lord. So good. You there in the frozen tundra.
So the Phantom Thread.
Right. Oh.
Right.
Take that back. Novitiate. So here lies the thing with this movie. Right? And I agree pretty much with everything Douglas has said. Right? It's one of these movies where all of the little pieces are there that exist in good movies, exist in movies we love, and it also helps that it has this grand character of the mother, the Reverend Mother, played by Melissa Leo.
Mother Superior.
So much of this movie feels like the equivalent of any like frat/sorority film, where we kind of just take our joy from watching this woman just break apart all of these children psychologically. Just every step she can find, just like there's this one moment, it's somewhere in the middle where she catches one of the postulants talking during grand silence and she just shrieks at her. Grand and it's in silence. the same way
that's their job, right, Damien? To be silent. Oh, how is oh my god. All right, sorry, Andrew, keep going.
No, yeah, it's technically their job, just be silent, pray to God, and wait for the priest to show up. Yep. Don't even look at him, just wait for him to show up. And
they want to show all women how to behave. Oh my god.
Boy, we've built this world wrong.
And like, as I'm watching this movie, all of these things are going through, I'm like, I guess technically they're doing all the things that I like in these types of movies. Forget the religion part. Like, if we took religion out of the equation and it was just this house of just watching lunacy happen. Right? Let's forget the real part. Let's just forget all of it. It's one of those movies where you're like, yeah, I guess they did those things, right? She shouted at them a lot. We got to see some agonizing torture. And then at the end of it, you saw the main character rise up, and the lady who was causing the torture, she got her quote-unquote comeuppance by having all of these regulations changed on her, and she can no longer be a horrible human being in the way that she was before. But more than likely, she'll figure out a new way to be a horrible human being about it all in the next 4 years that we don't see. But I feel that in those elements that these movies have that I'm talking about, this movie never really grabbed me the way that other movies that do these things well do. I brought up Whiplash earlier, which I feel is a good comparison for that sort of a thing, in that we have the power figure just breaking down our protagonist and watching their rise and fall throughout the whole of that movie, and just seeing the exchanges between them as they go from scene to scene. It becomes a battle throughout the entire of that movie. And in this movie, I don't know if it's that we don't have that much of a consistent battle going on from scene to scene. It feels almost, now as I'm thinking about it, that those standout moments of Melissa Leo exerting her power on these young women are kind of interspersed throughout the movie. They're not these consistent things, so you don't have, I think we have, like Douglas mentioned early in the film, when she says, "You don't have questions, you can leave now." Like, that is the beginning. You have the shrieking of silence, and I think that's, and then I think there's the moment later in the movie where she talks about the circle of faults, or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Which is another, like, psychologically torturing moment that you can watch, and like, seeing that scene alone, just like seeing those other scenes, you kind of watch it and you're like, oh, this is so, like, juicily.
Yeah. Melissa Leo has a bunch of good scenes, though, because she has a big lie down. There's that mm-hmm. one. And then, by the way, I forgot, and I hate myself for it. I really like...
What's his face?
When you... Yes, but I get into him. He only had one scene. That was hilarious. So when you said the word mother, it made me realize I completely forgot to talk about her mother, the girl's mother. I really love her in this movie. She was really good.
Who represented me?
Yeah. Like, fuck, why did I do this? But she was great in this movie. And she was that kind of... negative view of religion, right? Personified in the film. And as you said, the guy, I don't know his real name, but he is big in American Horror Story. He's one of those players. He was great. He played just one of the priests. I think he was a bishop, the archbishop for the diocese, who came and essentially...
So is it sad that when that scene came up and I saw him, I immediately went, that's the guy from True Blood who was the count or whatever.
I forgot he was
that did the spine. Okay. That did the spine scene that
to
we
be
love.
Fair, he was great in that as well. but yeah, so he essentially was like the Godfather. He was like Tom Hannigan from The Godfather, in that movie where he came, he sat down, and he essentially said to the Mother Superior that if you don't do what I want, there will be a horse's head in your bed. And so said, so done, right?
There will be a consequence.
But there's one thing I wanted to bring up, right? Because I think I made it clear where I kind of am in this movie, right? Like, I see the makings of it, but I feel like it's just a lesser movie of that type of film.
Yeah.
Right? And the hook that really wants us to get into this movie, beyond all of that, is the religion itself, right? Is our kind of glimpse into this world that we know nothing more than, oh, we might on occasion see somebody in an abbot, right? And we know that they're involved with the church, right? We don't know what the process is of becoming a nun. we know that we don't know what the process is of becoming a nun. We don't know what the gravity of the sacrifice someone goes through to become a nun, or what their daily life is. But this movie kind of posits something, and Douglas talked about doing the movie theory conspiracy thing where you're like, I don't think this movie is completely true about all these things, but whatever. I kind of wanted to ask, and I don't know if this is the best place to ask this question because because I don't think we're the right people to ask this question.
I feel like he's gonna ask us a woman question.
Uh-huh. No, Andrew, no. Right. I'm going to ask you a religion question. I'm going to ask you a religion question.
Okay.
Which is does your belief
change
the way you look at this movie? Right?
You know, that's one of those questions where I would tell you no, but the truth is any bias that you have in any way, shape, or form shapes how you look at something, yes. You know? So the answer, the correct scientific answer has to be yes.
As science.
Because, I mean so much of this movie, Damon kind of half mentioned talking up, so much of this movie feels like we are playing through the mother, where we're constantly going, like, I know this is what people do, but I'm calling it horse shit because that's my daughter. Like, you guys are lunatics, right? But I'd imagine if you look at, even at a glance, all the other parents who you only see in those few scenes
they're
in the church.
They're super happy.
Right? Mm-hmm. They're super happy, yeah. And they're super proud, and they're super into and glad that their daughter is doing what they're doing, right? And I kind of wonder if that's kind of how someone who has, like, a true sense of belief in this religion and in this system, that watching this movie they'd be proud and happy for the process that goes through, even with all of the sacrifice that's involved, psychological and physical, right? But yeah, it's something that came up in my mind as I was watching this movie, and I wonder if my negative feelings toward this movie comes from my lack of belief in the system itself and in the religion.
So not to cut you off, because I don't want to not address this point when it is my turn. I was looking for, what do they call it, Covenant 2? What is the thing that
The Vatican.
Vatican II, yeah. Right. And I went on to... First, I went on to the internet and started reading, but reading is boring. And so then I went on to the YouTube.
Audiobooks.
Where all the information is.
Sorry,
which is
even better. Yes. Well, let's roll back a little bit. First,
yes.
You went on to the internet.
The internet, yes.
Second,
right. I went on
you
to
went
the
on to the YouTubes.
Yep.
So I just want to make sure that we are... saying here that the YouTubes
and the internet
are a different place
is a different
from the internet.
Yeah. All right,
okay.
All right, Damon, so I have one YouTubes, quick question.
The Facebooks. The internet.
I have one quick question, Damon.
Yes.
If we were to rank in bastions of knowledge,
yes,
you have internet, Wikipedia, and YouTubes. Where do they rank?
So the Facebook. The Facebooks is dead last. There's no information on there. YouTube is a close second because it's straight garbage. And if you know where to look, obviously it's the internet. The internet actually has information on it. You'd have to come off of Facebook and YouTube to get there, and why would you do that? All that you need is on Facebook and YouTube. And what I found out is that People who are big fans of the religion don't like this movie at all. I found out that there's, and I should have, I mean, it shouldn't surprise me, but it still did. There are YouTube channels dedicated to the Catholic Church, and they review everything in the, as to how it would pertain to living a Catholic life. And they have millions of subscribers, which again, shouldn't surprise me, but still does. To see something that I didn't know exists have millions of subscribers feels weird. But they don't like this movie because they feel that this movie paints a cynical view of what it is, what that life is. It doesn't show any of the warm and fuzzy side of what it is to be. But they don't understand that this movie...
I would like to say that I saw a few scenes that were warm, and given that they don't have any instruments, probably pretty funny.
You're going to hell for that. But their argument is basically, this movie is only showing, like, and the word that they kept using is the cliched view of what it is to live in a nunnery. I don't think they understand how cliches become cliches, but that is where the religious side comes. You get a free pass when you're in the religion. You just see past all of the bad shit that makes nunneries cliche. But they're not big fans because this movie is, especially Mother Superior, is not what they want to show. I've yet to hear any of them say anything about how shittily the women were treated in the latter half when one man shows up and goes, "No, stop all of this shit." Then walks out. Yeah. None of them had anything to say about that, but they aren't fans. At least the ones on the YouTube. No, YouTube, I know this from the videos that I watch on YouTube. YouTube is usually not the place where you want to go to hear people have rational, measured takes on anything. YouTube is where people go to shit all over everything. So, I don't know if that... I didn't watch enough videos to know that. But the few videos that I did watch, they aren't fans of this movie.
Yeah.
So it's... We have a negative view because we don't really like the movie all that much, and the religious part is neither here nor there for us. But from what I've seen, the super religious people also don't like this movie. So I don't know. But did you have anything else to add, Andrew? Or
nope, not really. Like, right. I was kind of there.
So the problem with this movie is that the lead character is the wrong lead character. It should obviously have been Mother Superior.
Of course.
Like, yeah. Having her in the movie and having her not... having us not spend all of the time we could possibly spend with her is a missed opportunity. Watching this girl make the decision...
I kind of see her on the poster standing up with a pistol.
Yeah.
Just, you know...
Right.
Or actually, no, a whip.
You remember...
Be great.
Right, in Doubt, there were two leads, right? But at a certain point, Meryl Streep's natural ability to take over any scene she's in a movie, it was clear that we should give her as much screen time as we can possibly give her. The other two people are great actors, but look, Meryl Streep is the reason. Like, her performance is... Like, the second Melissa Leo enters, you're just like, I don't want to hear anything out of this bitch's face anymore. I want to follow Melissa Leo. I want to see why she does what she does. And if you have time, explain how she got here. And they kind of did that. But because of this whole Vatican II thing, at the very end, it's all like thrown up. Like, you could see where this girl would eventually grow into the same monster that Melissa Leo would become, because she's gone through all of the steps. And you can see where someone who has to represent, at some point she says she has to, God isn't here, so I when you take that stance, then it is very hard for you to make mistakes. And so you have to be extremely rigid so that it prevents not only others from making the mistakes, it also prevents you from making those mistakes, because there's no leeway. You sit here and you're silent. You pray and you whatever else, whatever other madness they do. Whenever I watch movies that are centered around religion, I'm always fascinated by the fact that there's people who at any point in history were willing to do these things. Like, all of it feels like someone would have forced you to, like, they found orphans and they're like, all right, listen, no one loves you except Jesus. Now go into that building forever. But to see her make this decision and go out, you're like, all right, fine. But the entire time, I was just like, where is Melissa Leo? And what is the next crazy thing that she's going to do to these girls or say to these girls? And give me some justification as to why she's doing all of these things. And the movie tries, but we never spend, even though it's not a short movie, this movie is more than 2 hours. I still don't feel like I had enough time with Melissa Leo's character too. Especially after the, what do you call him? The guy that came. What's his title?
He's the...
The man.
He's the right. Duke.
When the man shows up and says, I'm Black Dynamite and you're all part of my orphanage.
He's now Johnny Black.
I wanted them to spend more time with her character, and she already decided that she wasn't going to follow a word that these guys said. I wanted them to spend as much time with her going through all of the steps of her descent, going through all of her justifications. But it felt like the main character was a distraction from the thing that I wanted to see. And she's like, all the acting in this movie is great. But the only thing that I thought she brought was her mother. Like, her mother coming in and be like, stop all of this bullshit. Is the only thing. Because as a character, you see her enter, she's young, and she's kind of confused by the decision she's made, and you see her struggle. But that is what you assume would happen to her. Like, that is the story of, that is what I assume happens to these ladies when they enter. I don't think they're walking one the first day and they're just like, yeah, no, I'm full nun. Because you're cut off from the world. They're basically monks, right? And I assume it's the same struggles monks go through when they're just like, listen, we live here forever and we pray. And some of them make beer, I guess. But that is not, I didn't find her story interesting in the least. I just wanted to see. And I wanted them to, I was kind of upset that I had to go onto the internet to find out what the Vatican II was. Like, they didn't, I don't know if it is a thing everyone knows about. It was the first time I didn't know there was.
They gave you enough high level information for you to at least know.
No, I know
the gist of what. Yeah, it was.
But like, it felt like they left out
some. Did you need a detailed document with all the subclauses?
For a movie that was 2.5 hours long, I could have, the someone could have spent more than the minute and a half that
they said that the people that were important,
yes,
met,
yes,
because uh-huh, the church was closed, now they want to be more open,
uh-huh,
and they made changes including things like not turning their back on people when they're talking and talking in a language that they can understand.
Yeah.
And also fucking the women. That's all I need to know about that.
Okay. You didn't need to know how they got there, why it took so long for the church to get this done. Was it affected by the 60s, the time of hippies?
I don't think for this movie that really mattered, because what really mattered for us watching this movie was to see that these changes meant to Melissa Leo's character, which obviously and throughout that whole finale where she was listing off some of the things, you could understand someone who went through all of these psychological craziness that we've seen people going through throughout this movie, go like, so you mean the next set of people don't have to do with all this shit, then what the fuck
but
are we doing here?
But that's my point.
Well, but then the thing is,
it waits until the very end for her to just go, and this, and this, and this.
No, but you had to build up to it. And and the truth is, when she listed out those things, none of those things mattered. Well, there is a level of that, Andrew, where you say, well, I went through the hazing, why can't the next one go through the hazing? Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the big thing for me. I remember when she said it, and sure, she was emotional, but that, come on, you know me, that doesn't help. But when she said that, essentially, all nuns are now equivalent to regular people. Mm-hmm. They're not special, right? Priests are special. Priests are leaders or whatever. Mm-hmm. Nuns are just women in, and it's not even women in black dresses, because they no longer have to wear black dresses. Mm-hmm. Nuns are just women, and it's not cool.
No, but that is the point. I actually appreciated that sentiment more than some, because it is the thing that she was trying to engender in these women.
Mm-hmm.
Them being nuns, because women at the time didn't have, let's say, rights. Yeah. This is me, bro, sir. But people respected nuns, and she saw where regular women weren't respected.
Yeah.
And so she viewed the struggles and everything that she went through as a process that she needed to go through to become, it's like closer to what a man is than what regular women are. And so that is what upset her. But that is right at the very end, that is what I'm saying. They didn't spend time addressing things like that. Things that I was more interested in. Like seeing why it is that she, because saying that, they change the rules, and so she's upset because of a rule change. Part of that is true, but that isn't the entire story.
That's actually what I thought it was at first, because at first, you know, she's reading it, and I figured, rightfully so, but she's just partly that she was upset because it probably said she can't beat people anymore, you know? But it did say that, but then it went on to completely break the institution of nuns.
Right.
And in the end of the movie, what it says as well, it takes the approach of the I'm lazy and I'll just write down what happens approach. In the end, it says, it talks about how essentially, and I don't know why I have this number in my head, but 50% of all nuns everywhere stop being nuns.
Yeah, that's right.
Because this... Yeah. Strip them of everything. Right? Yep. What's the point of being a nun if a nun is no different from somebody else?
And it also didn't explore, at least for me.
No, you're not just a person with a job. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you're not just a person without a job. Mm-hmm. You're an unimportant person without a job. Sorry. You know?
It also didn't address, like, it started to, but didn't really address what happens when a religion is forced to change? Like, because the thing religion is sold on is being right. Like, they came up with right and wrong. They're like, listen, we have the answers. If you follow us and do these things, you are in the right. But what is right, by its very definition, cannot change. If it was right yesterday, it should be right today and right in the future. But that is not how churches work. Catholic Church had to change some shit. And That is what
rule
also.
Number one,
yeah.
Stop having sex with boys.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is also what. If you have decided. If you said, all right, I'm following this religion and I believe all the things that these men say and I'm going to follow all these rules because this is what I'm told to do in order to get to the next step, which is everyone wants to get to heaven. If you.
No, just the dogs.
All dogs will go to heaven.
Okay.
Everyone else is trying to go so that they can spend more time with the dogs.
Okay.
You guys don't understand. You've never had dogs. It's
no.
Truly terrible.
Because they're filthy animals.
Truly terrible.
I legitimately want to go to hell so I don't have to see any dogs.
No, there'll be dogs in hell too. Poodles.
No, you said all dogs go to heaven.
Poodles aren't real dogs.
So, no. Poodles don't go to hell. Mm-hmm. Hounds go to hell. You have
the hounds of the hell. Hounds
do cats go to heaven or hell?
No, cats. If I go to heaven and there's cats, I'm leaving. Fucking my shit.
Where do I go such that I don't have to see any cats or dogs?
Downtown Kingston.
It's fine. When I go to heaven, I'll just stay away from the petting zoo.
Right. If you believe one thing, right? Like, Douglas hasn't gotten there yet, but I have. For a time, I believe Arsenal was a football club, right? And then you slowly learn that you're incorrect. They're a garbage place where terrible people play. But I didn't think Arsenal was going to get me into heaven. But if you believe that something is going to get you to the place that is perfect and will free off all of this bullshit. And then 3/4 of the way in, they're just like, we're changing all of this shit. You'd have every right to be upset. Now, the men in the church would tell you, you should not be upset. But that's because, and she said it, that's because they didn't ask any of the women any questions. They're just like, we're changing all of this because we say so. And like, at the beginning, the girl is like, I love Jesus and I'm going to do whatever to get to meet him one day. And you see at the very end, a woman who made that decision early in her life be told, you know, all of the things we told you as a child to do to get here. No, you don't have to do any of that. That would be more than a little upsetting. So, just things I thought this movie should have explored. But it didn't, and so for that, the movie's, like, the acting is okay, but the overall story is what I feel lets down this movie, and so it's almost good. AG. Our new skill. Trash. Almost trash. Mediocre. Almost good. Good and great.
GG.
Yep. Yeah. Good, good.
Good God.
Yeah, or not.
No, we can't be religious.
It's all war.
God. Can't let religion into this.
Yo! Wow. Who? God. What is this? I don't care what anybody says. The first two Rush Hour movies are incredible movies.
Let's not bring Chris Rock into this.
I'm sorry?
Who? Sorry?
What? Who that?
I thought we were still making wrong name jokes.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Somebody's trying to get himself out of it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Racist.
JK Growling. Still a great
name. I mean, when Ice Cube showed up in that movie.
You need to get a dog, right?
Oh. Listen, getting two dogs, Tupac, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And the man is, the male
hear
dog
what,
is Tupac.
What,
and the female is J.K. Growling.
If we end up living close together,
yeah.
I will get Didier Dogba.
Yes. I mean, I assume they'll have puppies and then the puns can continue forever. All right. It's Dogba and Pogba.
Pogba. Paul Pogba.
I'm sorry. Did you say...
Okay.
Did you say your dog's name was J.K. Growling? That is correct. Don't talk
Damien,
to me.
Damien, how long do you think that reference would last?
She is cartoonishly famous.
No, yeah, but everything dies out eventually, right? Like, overrun, though.
Okay,
like,
Andrew.
Harry Potter
hold on.
Is never going to die.
Andrew, I know this is a really old movie. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been done in a while. Probably died out. Do you know who Indiana Jones is?
Never heard of him. I know he nuked the fridge. That's
But my point is, your reference is to the lady that wrote it.
Yeah.
Oh, I think people will forget that name eventually.
Nobody knows who George Lucas is then.
Dog. People still know who Tolkien is.
Only because the movies brought it back.
No, that's true. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But George Lucas,
that is why people know who Tolkien is. Because of the movies. It is like people who like the books. No one cares about any of those people. They read books. Who would talk to any? They're nerds. No one was talking to those people. Uh-huh. It's when the movies came out. That is when you heard Tolkien's name all over the place. And people still, even though those movies have gone away long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Put it this way. There's no Lord of the Rings world. There's a Harry Potter world. Right? There's, what do they call that? Some bookstore online that is all Harry Potter all the time.
Yeah, it's Potter time.
Potter's Villa. Or some garbage. Yeah. Like, people love, children love Harry Potter. And so, J.K. Rowling will be fine. For a good long time.
At least in our lifetime.
Dog, alright, here's what. The Tupac joke will be old before the J.K. Rowling joke. No one will like, why is your dog called Tupac?
Yeah, they won't know that.
Yeah.
They'll just think he really likes hip hop.
No, I'm saying there'll come a point where no one will remember Tupac as a hip hop artist. They'll be like,
that sounds like a cool
like,
name. Someone should name themselves
Drake?
Tupac.
No, I mean Tupac. Don't know a Tupac. Jay-Z. No, he used to rap. He was before Fabolous. Spelled it incorrectly, though.
Fabolous.
Fabolous.
No, you always have to say F-A-B-O.
L-O-U-S. Right? That's not how you spell it, dog.
I feel like he said that in every song.
He had to. Just he like contractually, he had to say that. And Ashanti had to say baby at least 18 times. Mm-hmm. Or she'd be fired.
Baby, baby, baby.
All right, so I want to bring up a couple of movies.
Yes.
before we delve into the deep end of just nonsense.
Don't call rap nonsense. How dare you?
Call it a comeback.
No, I was calling you nonsense, but okay.
Right, yeah, that's fine.
There are two movies I saw this past week that I feel worth bringing up on this podcast.
Yes.
Because I feel both of them talk to at least one of the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So first of all, I brought up, I saw, I'm guessing it's the ending of the trilogy. That one of Damien's favorite franchises had a third film that came out last year that we didn't talk about.
Uh-huh.
Pitch Perfect.
Yes.
Oh, I haven't watched that yet. It's not rentable yet. When it's rentable, I will watch it.
Uh-huh.
It's in my watch list.
You can just buy it.
No.
Did you see Pitch Perfect?
Huh?
Did you see the first Pitch Perfect?
Yes, I did.
Did you like the first Pitch Perfect?
I loved the first Pitch Perfect.
Did you watch the second Pitch Perfect?
Yes, I did.
Did you like the second Pitch
I
Perfect?
I loved the second Pitch Perfect.
Then you have your answer, dog. This equation is real straightforward.
Actually, I'm pretty sure I like the second one more than the first one.
Again, because the equation here is awesome. Real straightforward.
Yeah, it remains a fun movie.
Yeah.
The only thing this one doesn't have that I want it to, I want all of them to have, because it's really my standout moment for all of the three movies, is when David Cross shows up in the second one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. As like, the arbiter for a cappella.
No dignity. Mm-hmm.
It's sad to me in which, like, in this one there's a moment where they have that same scene play out where they have a group of people all riff off with each other and just song after song.
Mm-hmm.
And in the trailer, that scene is played up as this thing where the girls come in and like, oh, we're going to do this. And then all the other people go like, no, you're children. We're not playing this game with you. Like, we know to play music. We're not doing this. But no, they go into it. And somehow I was slightly annoyed by that because I like the joke of them telling them that, no, we're not doing this.
That's why you
more
don't
funny.
That's why you don't watch trailers.
Mm-hmm. Trailers ruin everything. But yeah, this movie is still fun. And John Lithgow is in it. So...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Douglas, you've seen this movie. I know I'm you sure haven't have. Seen yeah. the third one. You've seen, this, movie.
Yeah.
It's real weird to hear you go, I need verification that this
no.
stupid joke is still
I
a
need
stupid
verification.
Joke.
Then
I'm
saying,
buy the movie, dog.
All right. I'm going to tell
We're not
this
getting into Douglas'
again.
Arguments about digital.
Uh-huh. I'm
digital issues.
I know it's an OCD shitty argument. But I just don't want it to stay in my watch list forever.
Then don't buy it there. Buy the Blu-ray and have it sent here.
Yes, that I will do eventually. But it takes too long.
You're
so
right.
So instead of waiting 1 week for the DVD to come,
I'm sorry,
I will
DVD?
Wait for the Blu-ray to come. I will take... Wait 2 weeks for it to be rentable and then buy it
again. Oh, so you're a reasonable man. All right, that's good news. I was worried that you're some kind of lunatic. But now that I see that you've made reasonable decisions, let me be the first to apologize.
Apology accepted.
So the other movie I saw this last week, which is a sequel to another, no, I guess we can call it a franchise since it's part two, that I'm sure we've talked about on this podcast, Paddington 2.
Oh, I forgot about that. I need to check that out.
How is this happening?
How have I not seen that movie?
Why would anyone watch that?
Sorry, what?
Why would you watch Paddington 1?
Have you not? Did you watch Paddington 1?
I tried.
Damien,
with
that
the
movie
bear?
Is perfect.
With the bear?
That movie is so good. I am actually trying to remember because I'm pretty sure that movie went on my top 10.
Yeah, I don't know if it got that high.
I think you might be drunk. It's a bear.
A bear that I love. It's Bear Wishaw.
That makes marmalade.
What is... Is this real life? Wait a second.
In which he steals from Wes Anderson.
Yes.
Steals from Charlie Chaplin.
I really can't wait to see the Wes Anderson bits.
And Hugh Grant is in this movie. And Hugh Grant is also good in
this
movie.
Yeah, apparently he's some sort of shape-shifting. He's kind of like Dana Carvey in that Master of Disguise show, apparently.
I'm very upset that this is happening. Right?
It is the most lovable, enjoyable piece of entertainment. Like, it's not the movie that I talk about at the end of the year, but oh, it was a smile-worthy movie end to end, which is what I liked about the first one.
I'm very upset.
There's a moment late in the movie where he hides in a bin, and he walks around, and he says, "I'm a good bin," and I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah,
I'm an idiot.
I mean, that sounds. I mean, only jokes that you've described from It's Always Sunny. It's funnier than that joke a while ago. Oh my god! And girls, never forget, Damien. Never forget. Girls is a comedy, Damien. Just remember
wow.
that. Just keep that in mind.
So speaking of movies for ducks,
did you watch FP again?
No, I didn't.
Ah, boo!
Did anyone get to watch the FP too?
Oh, really? Did that come out already?
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Oh, okay.
I think no there's facts. A world where the FP 2 came out and I wasn't on this podcast immediately screaming.
I watched Murder on the Orient Express.
Okay.
Damien, have you watched this movie yet?
No, Andrew lies. Andrew, I told Andrew last week, he's done bad shit since the year started. That goddamn marathon that we just did has, unless I get multiple verification, I'm not listening to our word, Andrew.
Because
said.
He promised us a great movie, didn't he?
Yeah.
Damien, I'm here to tell you.
Andrew lies!
Yep. So, yep. I will give him that the first, say, 10 to 15 minutes is a glorious, grand, homage to tomfoolery. Mm-hmm. It is superb, Damien. I was so happy. I said, they can't keep this up.
Yeah.
This is what Andrew promised. And immediately after that, for the other 2 hours of this mm-hmm. movie, it was hot fucking garbage.
So it's Wanderlust.
Yeah.
It's just Wanderlust. I hate you.
It's what Wanderlust.
I hate both of you so much.
You're just like, I love this movie. And then pause. This movie's garbage.
Pretty much. Pretty much. And you see that he's
not
trying
even any love for
this,
Willem
right?
Dafoe.
He's what for?
He's been in better movies.
Yeah,
he's in the Florida Project, which is
no.
I think that
no.
might be my favorite performance of
actually.
Him
I need to watch that
in
movie
a good
again
long time.
And see if I actually like it.
No, you see, I if you had like bought it, it'd be in your watch list, and you could just watch it again now.
Do I like that more than I like, what's the movie, the Ventura movie? With him.
Nymphomania.
John Wick.
Oh, no. With him. It's
Antichrist.
Yeah.
Do I like him more in this
John
or in
Wick.
John Wick?
He's in John Wick.
Yeah. I also said
that's
Lars
the performance
Von
I was
Trier.
Thinking about.
Fairly certainly.
It still works out to John Wick. I don't know.
Fairly certainly didn't make John
Wick. I just heard Willem Dafoe, so I immediately assumed you were talking about John Wick.
Right. I was talking about Spider-Man.
you're talking about uh-huh. the Grand Budapest Hotel.
No, I'm never ever talking about
talking
the Grand
about
Budapest.
Fox Hunter.
Yes.
What was that movie that Douglas made us watch that I loved, the 80s movie where he's pretty much a biker gang, the head of a biker gang, and they sing songs. I've forgotten the name now.
And Michael Perry is a star.
True Grit.
It's Streets of Fire.
Streets of Fire, cool. Yeah. You're talking about Streets of Fire, right, Damien?
No, I'm talking about True Grit.
All right, I'm done.
Chariots of Fire. We finished?
Yeah.
Yeah, you said this movie's terrible?
It's terrible.
God.
It's terrible.
So it is what it promised to be in those trailers?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is Johnny Depp dumb in this?
He's not in it that much.
Johnny Depp, mm-hmm. I think Branagh hired him to
punish him and have
say
him act
to
like
the
a
world,
normal person.
I know that this is not, or I believe, I am with you. He's a horrible person. Don't worry, I'll kill him.
Yeah.
he's the guy murder dies. On the Orient uh-huh. Express. Okay. So he's in there for like
he's
5 minutes.
He's the mystery.
And then he dies.
He probably couldn't bring himself to do it for more than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm Jack Sparrow and just
no.
Sit there until we kill you.
They're like he's like, you know what? He wasn't going to die, but after 2 days of Jack Sparrow, he rewrote the fucking script, which is why I hate the rest of it.
Oh boy. Andrew, this shouldn't surprise you, but I based on what Douglas has just said, probably never going to watch this movie.
Makes sense.
So you might be right, but there's no way I'm going to find
no
it.
No way. I'm so disappointed because of Andrew.
Were you?
Andrew brought my hopes up. I don't know why I believed him.
5 movies from Iran. He didn't pick one.
None of them were good.
One good one?
None of them were
good. It shouldn't be possible.
3 out of the 3 movies that he picked from Iran were bad.
Oh, Lord.
Sahan, welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. I don't know what you guys have been doing, but we'll cut it all out. I don't know what else we want to talk about. Damien, is there anything you want to bring up?
All the movies I watch are old movies that I already love.
Actually,
it's the reason nothing is going up on my thing, because mm-hmm. every single time I type it in, I go, Damien, this thing you signed up for so that it would push you to watch newer good movies. If this is just a catalog of what you watch on Cody every day, this is a waste of everybody's time. everyone already knows what you think of Douglas. There was an evening that I had to delete 5 reviews. Like, I put up all of them and then went after, because it was just 5 stars for 5 movies that anyone that knows who I am knows I like this movie. Like, all right, this is always everybody time. I'm taking this matches though.
Of course. Of course. You know, a movie I've actually been watching is, speaking of movies that we've watched a million times, Barefest.
That is a quality film.
I'm in the middle of rewatching Inglourious Basterds right now.
I thought it was a quality film.
No, it's...
I've been watching it on Netflix, and there's a lot of that movie that I don't remember. A lot of...
How stupid it was?
Yeah, but not even just how stupid it is. The length of time between it being stupid enough...
To get into the Bear Fest?
Yeah, I'm actually...
There's the boot.
I'm actually wondering if Netflix is presenting me with the extended version and not telling me. So much so that I did a search and the time stamps add up. So apparently this is the real version, the theatrical version. But...
Maybe you just aged out of it.
May have.
Here's a good test. But watch Van Wilder. Like about it. If you watch Van Wilder and don't like it, then it's over.
Yeah, I used to love Van Wilder.
That's a good test.
Yeah.
I still love it. I know that movie. It's
not a good movie. Oh, no. There are things I still like about Barefest, you know, but I've... I don't know. It's not the holy grail that it once was.
Oh, no. It was... Yeah. Listen, it was just an extension of Super Troopers. It was never the grandest,
for me,
greatest
I loved
movies.
It. I loved it outside of Super Troopers. Super Troopers, of course, is... First of all, that's the first movie that I... that's the first movie that I saw of them. Or from them, rather. And it is great. And I still love it today. However, I haven't watched that in a long time either.
Super Troopers is our perfect.
You know what's funny is I didn't realize the same guy. Did you know, and you probably realize this, maybe I'm just being stupid, because apparently long hair messes up my cognitive, my ability to recognize people. But the guys is Fink in Barefest. Did you know that? I did not know this. Would you like me to tell you how I found out? So something that I don't think I've spoke... Did I talk to you about this? I can't remember. Something I found on Netflix recently was that apparently these guys do stand-up. And on Netflix is one of the stand-ups, not with everybody, but with just Landfill, the big guy, and Fink. And they talk about it, and he talks about being Fink, and he looks like the guy from Super Troopers. And I was like, that's when it clicked. I was like, what? Funnily enough, I remember thinking right before I clicked to say, let me see if I see it. And I press play, I kind of stopped thinking about it. And about 15 minutes in was when I remembered, wait, no, this is that guy. And realizing, you know what, I really don't recognize him. Just the, you know, the longish curly hair just throws me off for some reason.
I mean, you're bad at racism. It's one of the few things you're truly terrible at.
Oh, boy.
What, like, no, I just kept watching shit that I already like. It's comfort food and comfort games. Like, my life now is just work, and then everything that's not that is things that I already know that I love. Not challenging myself in any way, shape, or form.
I will challenge you then.
Unless
watch
deep shit. Except when you idiots ask me to watch garbage.
Watch happen then.
Sorry, what's his name?
Hap and Leonard.
Excuse me?
It is a TV show. It's on the Netflix.
It's too much work.
It has Gangsta Mike. Killer Mike.
I haven't.
It has Omar from The Wire.
Haven't watched Jessica Jones?
Yeah, I've only watched 2 or 3 episodes
haven't
so far.
Haven't watched Sneaky Pete?
Oh, I watched that a long time ago. Wait, is the second season out? I like that show so much, I need to go watch it.
The second season of Top Gear?
I watched that, definitely. Wait, so you've watched Sneaky Pete as well? I thought I was the only one that liked this show. Oh. Well, thank you.
Because you are.
You know, is it weird that it's hard for me? I don't like the Amazon app.
It's bad.
It's bad. So
I think you've said this every time we bring up Amazon on this podcast.
I realize that the only show that I really brave the app for is Top Gear.
Yeah.
So, there are other shows that I want to watch. There's a shitty Jean-Claude Van Damme show that
yes
is on there. There is actually Fleabag that I kind of got into for a second.
Yeah, there's a couple shows on there that
there's some
I
shows
watch,
that are pretty decent.
But Netflix app is better.
Yeah. And by the way, Netflix app is nowhere near perfect.
No,
that still
it's
has
just
a
better.
Lot of problems.
You know what? You know what I do? I download this. Because then it's perfect all the time.
Yeah.
But no, that Netflix gives you the option and Amazon gives you the option to download the stuff. That's usually what I do. So that the playback is consistent.
I don't have a playback problem that often. Every once in a while I will, but generally I'm fine.
You know that 3 seconds where Netflix is fuzzy when you just start it up?
No, I haven't got that for a while now.
It still happens and it still annoys.
That's bad. If it happens on Netflix,
it's
bad.
Because
Netflix
is like
lights out probably the best.
Yeah, like their preloading shit is real good, but sometimes it doesn't. Like especially when it's skipping to the next episode,
mm-hmm.
you see it happen, and it's It really does annoy me.
For me, the ones that are
first world
that
problems.
Have that is HBO. HBO now has that mm-hmm. problem all the time, but. To varying degrees. Usually it's not that bad. And actually, that's the only one that consistently has it. Most of the time, even Hulu for me is fine.
So I'm just letting you guys know that right
you.
Now,
I'm telling
I'm
Andrew
entranced.
To go fuck himself because he is going
no,
to
I'm
tell
No, I'm not
us
talking about internet things. I'm not about to talk about...
Oh.
I wasn't going to talk about that shit. Right now, I'm entranced because I'm looking at Twitter and I see a tweet, which I actually just retweeted, where someone took a quote from the director's commentary for The Last Jedi, where Rian Johnson is talking about the scene in which Laura Dern shoots one of the guns.
Mm-hmm.
And they've put in a gif of it to show it, where he says, "You can see Laura Dern say pew when she fires the gun." Which she could never not do every time she shot it. So it's there. Like, I'm looking at the GIF right now and I just see her lips go pew every time she fires the gun. I can't wait to watch this movie again.
This might be the best movie of I changed my mind.
So, do you remember how I said I wasn't sure if I liked this movie?
Top one.
I'm 100% buying this movie now, just for that.
Yeah. Oh. There's a world where you thought, we thought you weren't going to buy that movie.
This movie is so good now.
She Superman's her way back onto the
pew,
ship.
Pew, pew.
Turned cartwheels across the floor. I was feeling kind of seasick. The crowd called out for more. The room was humming harder as the ceiling. At first just go sleep. Turn away.